Galatians 5. Let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Again, what is the prayer about? The prayer is about allowing the Spirit to open our eyes that we might see what the problem of the church is, that we might see the various things that Paul is bringing out, pointing out to us in the passages that we're looking at. So let's prepare ourselves to test ourselves to see if we are trusting in the Spirit, relying on the Spirit by faith to open our eyes that we might see, clear the wax out of our ears that we might hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Once again, Father, it is a great privilege to open up the Scriptures and to allow Your Spirit to open our eyes that we might see how we might live in order to please You, that Christ might be formed in us, that we, Heavenly Father, might fulfill the purpose for our being left here after our redemption in Christ. Father, we pray that You will protect us from powers of darkness that would seek to interrupt our seeing the truth, and that we might, Heavenly Father, allow Your Spirit to open our eyes to this. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, 5:15, verse 15. We move or continue in now the crisis of love. Last night we introduced the crisis of faith or grace, the crisis of faith, and the crisis of love. The crisis of grace, defining it, understanding it. And this is very important because most people have a great problem defining and understanding grace, and we dealt with that. The crisis of faith, believing it. Do I really believe that all I have to do is trust in the one that God sent, and God will do all the work? Then we come to the crisis of love, and the crisis of love is living. Living in spiritual love. Now, verse 15, we have the crisis of love, and we're dealing from the end of verse 14. If you look at 14 now, it says, if we go back to 13, which lays the groundwork for what we're looking at, it says at the end of verse 13, but through love, serve one another. Now we move to verse 15, where we have the crisis of love. Living spiritual love, living under this concept of spiritual love, rather than, what would I live by if I didn't live by the love? Living by law. Living by spiritual love versus living by law. But if you bite and devour one another, take care, lest you be consumed by one another. People, what he's described in verse 15 is the result of law. And I'll show you that as we go through here. It is the result of living your life as a Christian by law. Now, the problem of the church, what's the problem of the church? Saved by grace through faith. And then want to live by law, live by doing. And we saw, just as you can tell, when you're having an assembly of believers, when in your home, in your life, you can tell when spiritual love is present. I want you to start getting into your mind, you can tell when law is present. Something we have not emphasized or even really noted. You can tell when people are living in love. And we've seen this in our study in spiritual love, our series in spiritual love. But what you have to also understand is you can see when law is present. When you're dealing under any performance system, my performance, I'm doing for God. You can tell when that kind of system is present. People are looking at each other, and it moves into judging each other, comparing, moves to gossip, talking about each other, maligning, and eventually devouring one another. This is the result. Verse 4 to 15 is the result of living under law. When you choose to live the Christian life under law, under any kind of a list, whatever your organization, your denomination, your movement, the person or church you're following, whatever their list is, whatever their little performance system is that you're living under, you come under what we're going to look at as the dilemma of law. And I want you to think about this, because I want to show you what the dilemma of law is. When you decide you want to live with each other under law, you're going to run into a dilemma. It's going to be very powerful that you see this dilemma. You have no other choice but to bite and devour one another. If you decide to live as an assembly, as a believer, but here we're dealing with an entire assembly, or in your home, friendships, whatever it may be, when you desire to live under law, you're going to come under the dilemma of law. And you have no choice. I'm going to show you this. You have no choice but to bite and devour one another. That's your only, that's where it's going to go. Now, I want you to look at verse 13. Verse 13, serve one another in love. Verse 15, bite and devour one another. You can actually see the difference. You can see an assembly. You can see when they're functioning in spiritual love, which the Galatian church was doing. And you can see when a church is functioning, an assembly is functioning under law, as is happening in Galatia at the time Paul is writing. So if you want to know, what's my real view of God? What is my real view of God? Look at the way you live with one another. Look at the way you treat one another. Now, note I said your real view of God, not what you claim. Not what you would do well in writing down on a piece of paper and handing it to somebody. I don't care about all that. Your real view of God is going to come out on how you live with one another and call that doing right. I'm not talking about isolated failure and sin, where we know that that's sin and that's wrong. I'm talking about the way I live with each other, and this is the way God would have me to live. The way I treat one another, and this is the way God would have me to treat. He said, what I'm doing to you, and the way I'm treating you, and the way I'm dealing with you is right. Then what you're saying is, this is my view of God. This is the way I think that God is going to behave. So, what you call right, what you claim is the right thing to do, and you're doing it in faith, you claim you're doing it in faith, you claim you're doing it in the filling of the Spirit. But in truth, you're under law. And we're going to be able to see how we can tell the difference. You're under the law, functioning in the flesh. And because you're under law, you think, you claim that the way you are treating one another is pleasing to God. This is the way God, this is what God would do. What I'm doing to you is what God would do. This is the way love acts. Love bites and devours. God, if I'm doing this, then I'm biting and devour, and this is what God would do. And I want to show you this is coming through what these people, where these people are. There's a big difference between sin, a failure with one another, and thinking that you're right. Here's the sin, and here's the way I'm treating you, and I think, I claim that this is right. But in truth, as we're going to see, we're functioning under law. And this is a greater sin. This is a greater failure. This does far more damage than even the sin. Now, what is going on here in Galatia? Remember this as we go through it, because we already studied this in chapter 5. What is going on, this entire assembly was doing it right. You were running well, Paul said. So we know this entire assembly were doing, they were running well. They were living by faith in the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love was flowing through. And they were dealing with one another in spiritual love. But now, they've been cut off from that. Someone's come along and convinced them to leave grace and faith, live under law. Now, they are biting and devouring one another. Each claiming to be right. Each claiming to be right. This is very important. When you live by a performance system, when you live by law, it's very important to be right. You won't hear that kind of conversation when you're living under spiritual love. But when you're living under law, being right is very, very important. I'm right before God in biting and devouring you. So this is what Paul is getting involved with at this point. So what is your view of God? You're going to see what your view of God is and how you deal with one another in the Christian life. What is your view of spiritual love? How Christ would love? This is going to be revealed not in your theological statement, but in how you deal with one another, how you treat one another. So in contrast to verse 13, serve one another in love, we now come under law. So we have, you're either going to live under spiritual love, where you're going to serve one another, or you're going to live under law, is what Paul is here pointing out and dealing with. Under law, now we're going to bite one another. Instead of serving one another, we're going to harm, we're going to hurt one another. So let's take a look. The Greek word, we start out in this verse, the Greek word, bite. Let's take a look at the word to bite. But if you bite, alright, the word biting here is a strong word. It's to just keep biting and hurting. You just keep snapping and hurting one another. You are harming, and what way are we harming them? Certainly we can get to the physical. But what we were more importantly interested in here, we are harming one another spiritually. People, there is really only one way to harm another believer. There's really only one thing you have to do to harm another believer, and that's not do spiritual love. That's not do spiritual love. If you do not do spiritual love, you will harm one another. You're going to do that. So this is what's going to happen as far as life's concerned. Now, when you are out of the spiritual life, when there is no spiritual love flowing, you're living under the flesh, you're living under law, you harm one another. There are one of two ways that you can do this. One, you can harm one another. This word to bite, to harm. You can harm one another by personal sin. Lie, cheat, steal, all those things. All the lists that we want to go through of personal sin. Or two, you can harm one another by dealing with them under law. And that's the one we're dealing with in this passage. There are places where it talks about, in Colossians, harming one another in personal sin. But here, harming one another. It's an area that most Christians don't even think about. And that is biting and harming one another when we decide to live by law. You decide to live by law. This is the one we have in context. Most believers can only think of harming one another in regard to personal sin. But as we have seen in the book of Galatians and in the problem of the church, it is far greater is harming one another according to law. Legalism. My performance system. So by far, this is a greater way of harming another believer, is harming them by doing law. It's amazing the way believers, people, it is amazing. And just dealing with this verse, I don't want to spend too much time here. It is amazing throughout church history. If we just take church history, here's the cross, and we come to around 30 AD, and then go all the way up to where we are today. It is an amazing story of a family harming each other. The body of Christ harming one another. It is an amazing study of history. The history of the church. By church, I mean those who are truly in the body of Christ. Church history is not a history of spiritual love. It is a history of believers harming and hurting one another. It is boggling to the mind, and I don't mean by personal sins. I don't mean by little things we could talk about that believers will do. I'm talking about hurting one another by use of law. What the church has done to each other and calling it right. And John Calvin can walk out after a message and hang somebody because he disagrees with them theologically and claim he's doing right. The church can kill, ostracize, hurt people, believers, spiritually. It is just amazing the history of the church, shooting each other and justifying it by law. What I am doing is right. The way I am hurting you is right before God. When you bite one another, you harm them. What happens is, what we're looking at here, people, is you're wounding them, hurting them spiritually. And this is why a series that we're on, those of you that are listening, just a series in Galatians, we're in a series of one another. And in all of them, most all of them deal with us, this thing of edifying one another, serving one another, rebuilding one another. And yet the way church deals with each other is to deal with them on law and hurt each other. Instead of serving them in love, instead of edifying them, instead of building them up spiritually, we fight them and harm them spiritually. And this is because so many believers throughout all church history, but today too, live under law, live under the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. You hurt me, you sinned, therefore I now am justified in going to law and treat you according to all these lists. You didn't do this and this and this, therefore I get to do this. And what we're seeing in the church, through church history and today, is this is not spiritual love. This is not the way God deals with us. This is not the way God deals with those whom He has called. This is not the message of the cross. This is not the message of the love of the Spirit. But it is the message that we give the world. Believers biting and harming one another spiritually and calling it right. Now look at verse 15. And devour one another. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another. Now the word to devour has the concept of eating, to eat, or to eat down. It means to eat down means to devour. I'm just going to eat you totally up. So it carries with it the picture, it's a picture word of a horrible destruction of another person. It's not only destroying them. Now, I want you to get the picture. I could take an axe and destroy you. I could take a gun and destroy you. But to eat means that I am master over you, is the picture. And what I'm doing is right. It edifies me to destroy you. I live on this. And this is what the law does. The law edifies itself by destroying. This is why Christians who live under law will destroy one another. So they become angry. We judge, become angry, and destroy. Spiritually, talking spiritual destruction, but it includes, and we've seen many examples of this, it includes a physical robbery of one another. We saw this in Hebrews 10, robbing of their possessions. We see it in Job 1 and 2. See it in Revelation, in the church of Smyrna, where their property is taken. So it involves a robbery or a taking. Satan is always in control and always thinks, if I can take property and rob you of your property and devour your property, that will do something to hurt you. But we're dealing with also a robbery and a hurting of them spiritually. If we want to stay with the concept of robbing them, you rob them of their spiritual worthiness. I want you to get the picture so that when you look at the edifying of one another, building up of one another, serving one another in love, you want to get them back. You want to build their spiritual life up. But when you're devouring, you devour or rob them of their spiritual worthiness before God. You rob them of their being reconciled to a relationship with God. And you're going to do it by law. You rob other Christians of their spiritual worthiness, slam dunk them, set them aside, judge and gossip, destroy them. And you exalt yourself in doing it. You've eaten them. By that I mean, you have done it to edify yourself. How great I am. Look who I have destroyed over here, God, for you. These Christians are an insult to you, and I am great by destroying them. You devour, you eat, you bite, and you eat. But the eating is very important that you see why that picture is used. Because when a lion roams around and eats, it edifies itself. And this is what a Christian does when we destroy another Christian. How good I am, when we applaud ourselves. Look what we've done. And we call this right when we devour one another. This is why the word carries with it all these pictures that I'm giving to you. It even in the lexicons has the concept of word to devour here, has the idea of waste. You cause them to waste their life. And how great you are in doing it. So if we want to look at it, we bite. This is the first stage. We bite with the law, and we bite with the law in order just to harm, to bring harm on them. But then what happens is we eat. We eat them in order to devour, destroy them. But in this process, we're building ourselves up. This is true of so many places in the concept of eating. We have the communion where we eat of the bread, picture of eating of Christ. What happens when I eat of Christ? What happens is I take on His glory, His person. So eating does this. It's for my edification. So when we eat and devour one another and destroy one another, we're doing it to build up ourselves, and we do this in the law. Now all of this comes in, which you have to appreciate historically. How can Christians do this to each other? This is all okay by the law. If I live under law, then this is what God would have me to do. God would have me to discard believers. This is why these kind of believers love. I used to teach this a lot, and I realized I had almost a whole congregation that didn't even believe it. But a lot of Christians really do love the scrapyard. They love to drive down over off of, I think it's off of 12 near 30. There's a one street that just for miles has nothing but junkyards where you can go buy all these parts and stuff. And people have that, we have that in the Christian realm. And Christians who have thrown other believers there and devoured, they love it. They love to drive up and down. Look at all the people discarded and scrapped by God. Praises God's righteousness and God's justice. It praises the law. And they love to take others down and say, if you don't do right, this is where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in God's scrap yard. But if we understand what really is going on in Scripture, the declaration, God is love, and serve one another in love. God is not in the scrapping business, people. He's in the salvaging business. If you get any other message from the cross of Christ, that message is, I am here to salvage. He could scrap the whole human race if he wishes. But he chose not to out of his love. He chose to salvage. That is our Christian message. That's why Christ said, if you love one another as I have loved you, all through church history, believers would serve one another in love, and that is salvaging one another. But again, if you live by the law, and this is very important, if you live by law, you have no choice but to scrap. I want to show you this. I want this to start building up in your mind so you can understand them. You have no choice but to scrap. When you live by love, you salvage. When you live by law, you have to scrap. This is one way that religion controls one another. Keep everybody in line by law. Because if you don't keep yourself in line, we're going to scrap you. We're going to kick you out, and we're going to devour you. And we're going to put you in the scrapyard, the spiritual scrapyard. Don't find that in Scripture. What I find is chapters like Hebrews 11, which is one of the greatest salvaging yard chapters in all of the Bible. Some of the worst scoundrels you can think of are in the great salvage, spiritual salvage yard of God, including Samson. Solomon's not there. But it's a great salvage yard. and it's the business that God is in. So what happens is what most seek to do, they seek to rob one another of spiritual value and service, rather than serve them in love to reconcile them. When you serve one another in love, people, you demonstrate what? You demonstrate that you are from Christ. If the world will know, all will know that you are mine if you love this way. So if you do spiritual love, they're going to know that you are of Christ. They're going to know that you are walking in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. This is the way Christ loves. When you devour one another, and remember both of these are seen with the eye, when you devour one another, you demonstrate what? You demonstrate that you are in the power of the flesh, but more importantly, you demonstrate that you are following the ways of Satan. Not, you can't glorify yourself, you're doing the law. Actually, if you look close to Scripture, you are following the ways of Satan. This is a strong tactic of Satan all the way through the conflict. I keep trying to point out that one of the most essential books in all the Bible is the first book, the book of Job, first book written. It's an umbrella of the whole thing if we can see the truth going on in Job. And all the way through, starting with that book, Satan seeks to devour. All the way through Scripture, he is pictured as the one who seeks to devour. Most of you know the passage, so let me just read it to you. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. When you have an assembly devouring itself, people, you have an assembly living in the power of Satan. You have them living under his flag, his banner, what he would have. Coming off of the 1 Peter passage, I do would like you to turn with me to Job. I think you knew the 1 Peter one, the reason I just read it. But look at Job so that you can actually see what's going on again. And remember, this is from the very beginning. This lays the groundwork of the whole operation. So we have Job chapter 1, verse 7. Job 1, 7. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. What is he doing? He is looking to see whom he can devour. Who needs to be devoured? And who needs to be devoured? Anyone who dares to walk simply by faith. Not by some list. Not by some performance standard. But simply by trusting him. So first Satan devoured. And what did he devour? First thing he did, he devoured all of Job's possessions. And that didn't affect Job. Didn't bother Job. Then he sent three believers. Satan sent three believers to devour Job of his spiritual value. And Job's three friends came in and did it. So Satan devours. He devours. You've got to remember something about Satan, and it's very important that you do. Satan is the biggest proponent of law. He is the greatest supporter of the righteousness and holiness of God. God, you must remain holy and condemn everybody, and you can't salvage any of them. Just like a lot of Christians. You've done really wrong, boom, you're out. And that's the way we're going to deal with you. This is Satan's whole basis, people. God, Satan isn't coming up to God. In all those verses that we looked at, how can one be righteous before God, clean or unclean, all these things, as a believer or unbeliever? He's not using some stupid rationaling or logic with God. He's using God's own character and the law. I've got you. You've got to stop them. People, again, I want to say, so as I build up to it, if you choose to live under law, you have no option but to bite and devour one another. You have no option. There's no option of love there. You're going to live under law. This is what's going to happen. And all you have to do is look at yourself in the way you deal with one another, and you'll know how I live. Do I live under law, or do I live under grace through faith, which produces love? And you'll know. So Satan is the biggest proponent of all of this. So you'll see that you are either from Satan or you're from Christ. And how you deal, and we deal with one another. Okay, bite to harm, eat to devour or destroy. Now the question, how do we do this? How does this happen in life? How does this come about in life? How do we devour one another? People, we do it the same way Satan did it to Job. This isn't a good pill for a lot of people to swallow. A lot of people won't. But how would I devour? How would I as a Christian devour another Christian? How would I bite and snap to hurt another believer? The same way Satan did in Job. The same way Job's three friends did with Job. The same way this thing has been going all the way through history. How do you do it? All you have to do is go to law. And that's why we saw in Galatians 5, you were running the course well. Running it well, who cuts you off? Who calls you to rise up against grace and faith and go to law? Who? Ultimately, your adversary. Because he cannot stand it if you're going to live by grace through faith with the manifestation of love. So how do I do this? How do I bite? How do I devour my fellow brother in Christ? Go to law. And it'll look right. Remember all the way through Galatians now, whoever has convinced you, charmed you, cut you off, caused by fear, whatever it is, it's going to look right. How is it going to look right for a believer to devour a believer? Boy, that just can't be. All I have to do is show you law. Oh, well, okay, yeah, now I can see that. If I just start talking about a way a believer treats, oh, man, a believer can't do that. Just, oh, wait a minute. Here's how we, let me show you what the law says. Oh, okay, I got you. Yes, then that's right. That's the way we deal with it. All I have to do is go to law. See, if I do something in sin, this is wrong. But if I do it according to law, it's right to God. If I hurt you in sin, oh, that's wrong. We all know that. But if I hurt you under law, that's okay. Because I'm right. I'm right. I have law to back it up. And this is what is going on with the Galatian believers. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. Who is disturbing you? Disturbing you by what? By distorting the gospel. People, it is not a matter that they were setting the gospel aside. They're distorting it. They're changing it. They're changing it by turning it into law. Chapter 2, verse 4, bring us under bondage. What kind of bondage? The bondage of law. Chapter 5, verse 4, sever you from Christ, fall from grace. When does this happen? When I go to law. When I stop living by faith. When I say that what you got to do is our list. And our list may be very small. It may be just repent or confess or feel sorry. Or it starts getting bigger, and then we start adding more and more and more and more and more and more, until we control your whole life. Other than just talking. So this is how these things come about. We do this, we attack one another, judge one another, gossip, slander, all in the name of the law. What I'm doing is not wrong because I'm doing it according to the law. My gossiping and my maligning is not something horrible. I'm doing it for law's sake. I have a license to do it. James Bond, what's he got? License to kill. What's a Christian have with the law? License to kill. I'm right with God. I have a right. I have a license here to slander, devour, fight, judge, destroy you. Because I have law. That's what we live under, is this law. We bite the horn, verbal attack, snap at one another. You're wrong. You're not doing this. You're doing this. And start in on each other. And then we start eating to devour, rob, destroy one another, scrap another believer. But I have to throw in the other. Or you can choose to live by faith in the Spirit and have spiritual love flow through you. In that case, you serve one another. You do whatever is necessary to salvage. Even if it means pick up their burden of sin, even if it means lay down your own life. I'll do it. That they can be salvaged, reconciled to God. Look at Proverbs. Let's look at a few things. Proverbs 16. So we're dealing with a very strong contrast here, people. We're dealing with, you get to pick. You want to live your life. You can live it. Just pick two words, law or love. And I'm going to show you, it can't work together. And this is going to be the dilemma of law. Proverbs 16:28. We're just going to note a few passages and then move on. 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slander separates intimate friends. This is what can happen. Chapter 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates intimate friends. But I have the law to repeat this matter. I'm amused. That's the only word I can give for what's going on. Christians are so happy that our president is in trouble. Well, now we've got him in cover up. Now we've got him in this. And when I read the whole thing about cover up, I thought of this passage. Love covers. What do Christians want? We want nothing covered. We want to kill you with it. And yet I read scripture of spiritual love. I'd like to cover it up for my president. And I mean that. He doesn't need this. Whatever I may think of him, this ought to be set aside till afterwards. But no, it's not going to be. Not on your life. But what we're talking about here is the way Christians deal with one another. Not about ready to cover anything up. I don't care what scripture says, because that applies to one, but I've got law now. And law gives me the right to uncover. I'm right in law in devouring you. Just remember that as we continue to work through some of these things. Look at chapter 10. Go back to chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. So you have to decide which way you're going to deal with one another. And all you have to do, people, in Galatians chapter 5, all you have to do is look at the assembly. Look at your home. Look at your relationships in life. Which verse is present? Go back to Galatians 5. All you have to do is look. You don't have to have anybody judge you. You don't have to have anybody come and pound it on you. All you have to do, Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 13 now with me. Just look at your life, look at your assembly, look at your home. Which verse is present? Verse 5:13, serve one another in love. 5:15, biting one another, harming one another, devouring one another. What is present? Now, there's a warning in verse 15. Let's look at it. Paul has given many warnings in Galatians to those who choose to live by grace and faith. Chapter 4, verse 29. Look at that. There was a warning. 4:29. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. A little warning. chapter 5, verse 9, we have a warning. Look at the warning there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. How can one person take an entire assembly running well, running by grace through faith, and cut it off? He just gives you one little warning there. That's how. That's all it takes. Now we have another warning. Look at the end of verse 15. Take care, lest you be consumed by one another. You consume one another. This time Paul uses a word, different word, the word that means to take away each other. This is reflective. You destroy one another. You consume one another. Remember, you're doing it to build yourselves up. You destroy one another. You destroy, the word means, right out of the lexicon, to destroy or bring to an end. You bring to an end the whole spiritual momentum of the assembly. That's what's happening in Galatia. This is where this Paul is saying. Now, how would they consume one another? How would they consume one another? People, this is what law will do. When a whole assembly has decided to go to law, you can count on it. Law will destroy. Law will come along and destroy. It'll work where each other will destroy each other with love. Love will put an end to any spiritual momentum by grace through faith going on. They are going to destroy each other. Now, what I want you to see, if we deal with law, remember in chapter 5, we made a movement. We made a very strong movement to enter a relationship of believers. This has been very personal. Since about verse 6, 7, wherever that was, started coming into the personal relationships with each other. Now, how does this happen if you consume each other and destroy the whole assembly? This is what happens. The first group uses law to bite and devour, to destroy those they are judging. Then, the other group uses law to judge them. Why? Because no one's perfect. No one can keep the whole law. So we've got the first group. They're going to use law. Here's the first group. They use law. So here's group A. They use law to destroy B. Very simple. B comes along, and now B is going to use law. Oh, you want to deal with me in law? All right, let's deal with law. So they use law against the second group. In other words, both groups, watch how this happens. What is Paul describing here? How can you destroy the whole assembly? Both groups now use law to bite and devour one another until their whole thing is destroyed by law. They both use law to destroy and devour one another instead of serving one another in love. For if you live by law, you have to judge by law. And no one can keep the whole law. All are going to be found guilty. And pow, the whole thing is destroyed. This brings us, and please be with it here now, this brings us to the dilemma of law. I want to show you the dilemma of law. Why this describes any assembly decides to go to work, go to law. When you choose to live under law, or you're charmed to live under law, as the Galatian believers were. You're cut off from grace, as they were. You have no choice but to devour one another. No choice. You're going to have to devour one another. Judge and attack. People, this is a character of law. Another believer has broken the law. They've sinned. You have to judge. If I have chosen to live by law, to live a Christian life, to live my spiritual life, I have chosen some performance system, whatever it is, whatever our list is, I'm going to watch you according to that list. And I'm now going to judge you and watch you according to the list. You have no choice but to attack, to judge. It's the character of law. Sin, you've got to judge, you've got to attack, you've got to bite. And if it needs to be, you've got to devour. You've got to get rid of it and destroy them. You cannot. Now listen, if you're going to live by law, if you're going to live your Christian life, you're going to live the spirit-filled life, the Christian way of life, the Christ-like life, whatever you want to call it, you're going to live it by law. That is, by some list, some performance system, where I perform. You cannot do love at the same time. They conflict. Love is in conflict with law. When you are under law, love must be secondary. It must be subservient to law. It must be. This is how we're going to live. And love has to be subservient. Love must come only when everybody's doing it right. If you are subservient to law, love becomes subservient to law. It comes subservient to righteousness and justice. And people, what I want you to understand is there's nothing you can do about it. That's the dilemma of law. Even if I want to, I can't. I've got to judge. I've got to do this. Because if I don't, then I am a lawbreaker. I'm not keeping the law. And they'll point the finger at me. They'll get me. I've got to do law. And you have no choice if you've chosen this is the way to live. And that's what's happened to this old assembly of believers in Galatia. They have decided to do law. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's the dilemma of law. People, this is why Satan loves the law. This is why Satan demands that God deal with us according to His holiness, according to righteousness and justice, and nothing else. He demands it. The greatest proponent of law is Satan. The greatest proponent of righteousness is Satan. Because he's got you. He thinks he's got God. There's just no way you can get around this, God. I've got you. So you've got a whole assembly of believers, and they're changed over now to want to work by law. They have no choice. Don't disturb them with love. That doesn't apply now. What applies now is law. That's all that applies now. And what you have to appreciate is the dilemma. You have to appreciate the characteristic of law. It's designed this way. You will end up destroying one another. And Satan knows if he can keep God just on the basis of holiness, God has got to condemn all mankind, and certainly he's got to condemn believers when believers sin. And he's got God. Because that's what the law demands. The same dilemma, people, that Satan uses against God, the same believer, that the same dilemma he chooses, or he puts on believers, he chooses to live by laws and assembly. God must discipline. God must condemn. And I've got to do that for God. I have got to hurt one another. But I'm doing it under law. I have a license to do this. I have a license to devour. That license is law. I have a license to bite. That license is law. And there's nothing I can do about it. Even if I wanted to do anything about it, I can't, because that's what the law says. That's what I have to do. There's nothing in Satan's view. We've seen this in Job. There's nothing that God can do. Who can make the righteous or the unrighteous righteous? And he says, no one. There's nothing that God can do about it. And people, there is nothing that love can do about it. If you live under law. So if you choose to live under a performance system, whatever it may be, if you choose to live under some list system, just chalk it up. You are going to have to devour those who do not go along with your list. You're going to have to get rid of them. You're going to have to bite and snap and destroy. Because there's no room for love and there's no room for faith. And that's why you snap at faith. Find something else other than faith and love. And then what you find is the law. It is very clean. It is very clear. Love is nebulous. Love lets you get away with stuff. Law is a feature. Law is concrete. license it could be the way I did. That's how this can happen to the whole assembly. Because there's nothing that love can do about it. Not even the love of God can do anything about it. So therefore we have the principle of Galatians 5, of this whole assembly. When an assembly of believers go over to law, they must bite and devour one another to the point of being consumed and destroy its whole self. The whole body will destroy itself and it will do it by law. That's what law is designed to do. Designed to bring about sin and destruction. Death. You understand that? It's designed to bring about death. The Spirit brings life, the law brings death. An assembly decides to go to law, death. You can count on it. It follows. That's what law will do. This is why he has so many different places, and this is why the whole battle in regard to spiritual love, what Satan did not plan on, and we've seen this many times, what Satan didn't plan on when he had God trapped with his holiness, he didn't plan on the magnitude of love. And many Christians hate the magnitude of love. The magnitude of love is that I can do it. I can make that which is unclean, clean, be they unbeliever or believer. There are Christians who believe it for the unbeliever, but they don't believe it for the believer. And we'll see Sunday morning, let's change the definition of grace. That's the crisis of grace. We're looking at the crisis of faith, the crisis of love, the crisis of truth. The crisis of grace is how you understand it, your definition. And the real crisis is when you change it. Well, for the unbeliever, grace means one thing, but once you become a believer, somehow, unbeknown to anybody, it changes its definition of grace. Crisis. But here we're looking at the crisis of love. If you decide to go to law, you will destroy one another. You have absolutely no choice. James chapter 2 verse 12. Let me just read it for you. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is the law of love. Verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't know what that means. I don't understand how that can be if I've chosen to live under law. But if we choose spiritual love, if we choose to live under faith, then we understand love. And we understand there is no victory as far as the law is concerned. One final note in verse 15, and then we'll move on. One final note of warning. Take care. Take care. What does he mean by that? It means that you can see. So what Paul is saying is not only to see that you do not do this to one another, but by using the word to see here, he is telling us something, if the eye will see, because we can see, translate, take care, as the seeing, to see means take care, it means be warned. But by using this word, he is telling us also something else. He's telling us you can see. You with your eye can literally see when you are living under love, when you are living under law. Because when you are living under law, you will devour one another. You will bite one another. You will eat so as to devour. You will consume, destroy one another. When you decide to live under love, serve one another in love, you can see that. You don't need to guess. You know. All you have to do is look at with your physical eyes, and you can see when people are living under law and when people are living under spiritual love. But he's telling us something, a little secret right there. Verse 16, he changes now. Verse 16, we go to within. We've had several verses in dealing with the assembly. We've had several verses of believers' interaction with believers. Verse 16, where does all of this come from now? In verse 16, we move from a crisis of love, interaction of believers, to the crisis of faith, which is what the book is really about. The crisis of faith. How we interact with one another, people, comes from within. It comes really from God himself. That is God the Holy Spirit in us. So in verse 16, Paul explains how we can love one another, serve one another in spiritual love. Paul moves from the interaction to show us how it has to come from within me. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Okay, that's several things I want to do. I have a few minutes, but no sense in trying to get my own 2 or 3 minutes here and get really stuck here. But this would be a good place to stop. So we move from the crisis of love, and I'm sorry we spent an evening. I'm not really, because it's so important to understand what happens when you decide to go by law. I've been trying to cover at least 3 to 5 verses. But every now and then we get slow, because it's so important that as an assembly we see what happens if we live by law, what happens if we live by spiritual love, or actually what happens when we live by faith directed toward the Holy Spirit. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. Galatians 5:5-6. Nothing else matters. So we live either here or we live here. If we live here, under law, we're going to devour each other. We're going to fight. We have no choice. This is our standard. If this is the way God deals, we have no choice but to devour one another. I have a license to do it. If we choose to live by love, we'll serve one another. We can see what's happening in the assembly, in our marriages, people. You can see it in your own marriage. You can see it in your own life. All you have to do is look. The way you deal with one another, and you'll know whether you live under law or under spiritual love. Crisis of love. But now, the crisis of love is directly dependent upon the crisis in faith. Do I really believe that all I have to do is stop? The closing word of prayer. Father, the crisis of love is really the crisis of seeing how you deal with us. In the final analysis, the crisis of love is the crisis of seeing the cross and understanding how we see. It's really a crisis of seeing the power and work of the Holy Spirit. It's really a crisis of our view of you. What is our view of you? How do we see how you act toward another believer? Father, these three areas of crises that we're looking at are so powerful in our life. Crisis of praise, crisis of faith, and crisis of love. And they determine our intimacy with you and your Son. I pray, Father, that you will continue to open our eyes that we might see. Clear the wax out of our ears that we might hear. Of the Spirit of God. Setting the assembly here. Your servants live by spiritual life. We know that will be tested. Day in and day out. But we also need love never fails. We praise you for the God you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.